Trailblazers courtside for February 11th, 2013. Adam Bjornsson alongside Michael Holton filling in once again tonight and ready to get you your fix of some Trailblazers basketball. A lot of outlets, of course, for you to take part in tonight's show. There is right here on Comcast Sportsnet on the TV side of things. Then there's the Trailblazers Radio Network and, of course, streamed live on trailblazers.com. You just got back from a quick little trip back east. We're going to talk about that in a second, but first, it is the courtside tip-off presented by Standard TV and Appliance. As we tell you who's on the show tonight, we're going to be joined by Blazers assistant coach Jay Triano in Miami with the team. He's going to join us at 6:15. We'll talk to Jay about last night's disappointing loss in Orlando, and of course, look ahead to tomorrow's game with the defending champs. Also, we're going to ask Jay about what changes could be in store for the team defensively. Then, as you see, there's a guy. His name is Mike Barrett. I've heard of him. Of course, he's a Blazers play-by-play TV man. And we're getting his thoughts on the state of the Blazers, what this team has got to do to stay above water in the playoff race. Of course, as always, nothing off limits with MB. And we want to remind everyone, no Trailblazers courtside next week because of the All-Star break. So we will be back with a show on Monday, February 25th. Not sure if you and I are doing that one yet or not.
25th after the break. I don't know, but if we get called out of the bullpen, we're going to come with the heat.
There's wheels and tone. I had just been all informed. Okay. The cap just informed me. All right. If you're on Twitter and you've got a question of any of our fine guests or of Michael or myself, use the hashtag TBCourtside. That will get them directly to us. And we always like to have you as involved as possible. So the early bird getting the worm. So the quicker you can get those questions to us, the more we will be able to answer those. I'm going to get to your story on the other end of the break. How about that?
No problem.
You had an interesting 24-hour trip, right?
I flew 14 hours to go to a three-hour event.
That's beautiful. I love it. All right. We are going to reconvene right after this on Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. Stream live on trailblazers.com, the Trailblazers Radio Network, and, of course, Comcast Sportsnet. Back with more right after this.
Matthews hits and jams with two hands.
Very nice. Very nice.
Lillard zips a pass to Aldridge. Little pick and roll right there. Answered by Parsons. Lillard goes right past Lynn. Drops to Batum. Boy, Damian Lillard can shoot past Jeremy Lin anytime he likes. Rich backdoor Batum gives to Hickson with two hands, and he's fouled.
Greetings, one and all. Welcome to Trailblazers Courtside, the February 11th edition, the year 2013. Adam Bjornsson and Michael Holton with you tonight. And happy to have you guys all with us as we talk some Trailblazers basketball tonight. Michael, your consecutive games streak came to an end on the Toyota Trailblazers tip-off yesterday as the great Orlando Williams, former Oregon Duck, and Harlem Globetrotter filled in for you. Tell everyone where you were. Everyone was like, where's Michael at?
Well, I'm glad I was missed, and I know Orlando did a great job, and I did miss being here. But I traveled to a 90th birthday party of a close friend and mentor, Senator Marshall Rausch of North Carolina, that I met when I was a Hornet.
Yeah,
we've been close ever since. And when you get an invitation to a 90th birthday party, you go. I mean, you just go.
So you said you traveled 14 hours to attend a three-hour event.
Yeah, well, you go.
You go. Know,
I got there in time to land, take the power nap. I went to the event, and it was unbelievable. I mean, the perspective you leave with, first of all, what he's done in his life, that couple hundred people showed up to his 90th birthday party. But when you get to having friends that are 75 to 90, you can see a myriad of healthy, less healthy, less healthy.
Sure.
And the thinner people were the healthiest. And so I am now motivated.
one of the mentors in your life, right?
Oh, yeah. Senator Rausch and I haven't made a major decision in life since we met. I certainly haven't made a major financial decision since we met. He met and guided me. When I was a Charlotte Hornet and I didn't know what I was doing, I was living the fast NBA life. He sat me down. He said, write down all your bills, what you pay, what you owe, what the percentage rates are, and we're going to get you straightened out.
Is that right?
I haven't made a financial decision without him.
Is that right? Wow, that's great. Well, that's great. You missed out yesterday on the Trailblazers falling flat defensively. This is one of those kind of should-have-won games that the Trailblazers should have had yesterday. I think one of the big keys was, obviously, an offensive rebounds. They gave up 17-5 to
the Magic. And the Magic, obviously a team that had lost 23 of 25 games, had a streak of 12 in a row. The team just fell flat defensively. And as you well know, it's got to start on the defensive end.
Yeah, well, defense, I mean, everybody knows that. You got to defend, and particularly on the road. But offensive rebounds, that's an energy area. That's a hustle area. And that's a department or a category that the Trailblazers usually lead in. So it's not surprising that a team like the Magic would get comfortable and confident as the game goes on if they're getting a volume of offensive rebounds.
All right, this reminder we want to tell everyone as you look at the road trip here, just two legs left on it at Miami tomorrow. We are going to be touching on that quite a bit. In fact, we'll be talking to two guys from Miami, two guys on the show, Blazers assistant coach Jay Triano, as well as Blazers play-by-play man on the TV side of things. He is Mike Merritt, and we're going to be talking to him coming up at 6:35. So look forward to that. You know, you take a step back by losing to Orlando, but as Jim Carrey said in the movie Dumb and Dumber, they can totally go out and totally redeem themselves tomorrow with a win over Miami. It might be easier said than it is done. That's going to be a monumental challenge for them tomorrow, right?
So you think they have a chance. No, is that the same movie? Yeah, you know, that's why you play the games. You know, Miami, the game for the Blazers is going to be kind of a trip game or a trick game or whatever you call that, because they beat Miami here. Mm-hmm. But Miami's riding a wave of momentum right now. Do they overlook the Trailblazers? Do the Trailblazers respond to the Orlando Magic loss with a heightened level of focus and knock Miami off in Miami? Who's to say?
You hope you catch Miami on one of those off nights, because obviously yesterday they go out, and LeBron James just playing at an incredible level right now. They go out yesterday, they beat the LA Lakers, and you think, ooh, maybe that's a good sign for the Trailblazers because they got that one out of the way. That was the marquee Sunday game on national TV. Tomorrow's not a national TV game like it was here in Portland the first time when the Blazers beat them 92-90 on TNT. But LeBron James just kind of yeah. Well, I see you grimacing. Well, folks can't see because we're on the video.
Well, because we're talking, and the Trailblazers are coming off a game where the defense wasn't as good as it needed to be. And Miami is not a team that you want your defense to have an off night against. That's why I was kind of grimacing, because, you know, Miami's a blood-in-the-water type team. If you let them get free-flowing, that's not a good thing.
Yesterday, and I know you were traveling and stuff, but you got a chance to watch bits and pieces of yesterday's game. I know it probably did not help that Damian Lillard had his worst shooting night as a professional early, obviously, in his career. But I will be willing to guess that he will never have a shooting night where he goes 1-for-16 again.
Yeah, you know, I was able to study the game more than I was able to see the game. And more importantly, I listened to Damian's interview with Jim Rome today where he talked about the off night at length. So, no, Damian Lillard, I wouldn't worry about a 1-for-16. I'd worry about a 1-for-2 or 1-for-3.
Sure.
I mean, if defense is locked into Damian Lillard where he couldn't get quality field goal attempts, that would be concerning. The fact that he got looks and didn't knock them down, Mama said there'll be days like these.
And for folks that didn't hear Damian Lillard on Jim Rome today, you can follow Michael on Twitter at MDH Hoops, at MDH Hoops on Twitter. And you have the link right there, right?
Yeah, I retweeted it, and then I studied the link. You'd be proud of me. I looked at it. I listened to it. I clicked the link. I copied the link. I posted the link into an email and sent it to my sons.
You are growing up before our eyes, young
man. Hey, the job is requiring me to become social media savvy, and I'm up to the task.
You are watching Trailblazers Courtside. It is the final edition before the All-Star break. We'll return with much more right here on Comcast Sportsnet, the Trailblazers Radio Network, and, of course, streamed live on trailblazers.com. Back with more and head coach Jay Triano, assistant coach Jay Triano, right after this. Hey, vote for your favorite Trailblazer in the Kia Fan Favorite Sweepstakes, and you could win 10 lower-level tickets to the April 7th Dallas game, a meet-and-greet with the Blazers fan favorite, and much more to enter. And for a list of official rules, visit any participating Metro Kia retailer or head to trailblazers.com, keyword Kia. Michael Holton, Adam Bjarnson with you this February 11th. Trailblazers Courtside presented, as always, by Pacific Power. Michael, let's go back as we're kind of efforting to still get in touch with Jay Triano. It's always tough to get in touch with guys down when they're in Miami.
It's dinner time.
It's not dinner time on the East Coast.
It's dinner time in Miami.
is that a fact? It's the city that never sleeps, part two.
It's the city where you have late dinner.
Let's go back and talk. And we just touched on it in the last segment about Damian Lillard, the interview he had on Jim Rome. You had an interesting talk with your son about that, or sent him the information, because your son kind of going through a little adversity, not like Damian did last night as far as shooting, but an injury. And he just kind of put things in perspective, didn't he?
Yeah, it's a great interview if you want to learn a little bit more about Damian Lillard's path to the NBA, because it talked about the fact that he went to, I think, St. Joe's private
right,
high school
in Alameda, right?
Which was a reach for his family to come up with the money for him to go, and he mm-hmm. wasn't playing, and just the adversity. And then he played on the AAU team where he didn't get a lot of publicity and so on. But the part that I locked into was that he got hurt in his junior year in college, and he said he sulked, and then he figured out what to do. And the coach said, you got to come up with a plan. And he lifted weight 6 days a week. He dribbled in a chair. He shot in a chair. But most importantly, he watched every minute of every game he played in and looked at how he could be better.
And you say that that has made him so much better because he knows how to study tape now, right?
Yeah, we hear that all the time. He says, right. I look at tape. I look at tape.
That's unbelievable. All right. We have connected with Trailblazers assistant coach Jay Triano, who joins us now via phone from Miami. Coach, thanks for the time. How's Miami treating you?
Thank you.
24 hours now, we hope Miami's treating you guys a little bit better, right? That would be a huge monumental victory if you could get one tomorrow.
Well, we certainly hope so. I think, you look at this team and how well they've been playing lately, it's, it's going to be a tough game. We have to figure out a way to stop LeBron from trying to make plays for other people, and you have to stop Dwayne Wade from trying to score the ball. But anytime that you come in here, it's going to be a tough game. They're a team that's played very, very well at home, and it's a tough game for us. And we look back, and they've only lost 3 games at home, so it's tough. But you know what? This team has kind of shown a resolve every time that we haven't played particularly well. We bounce back, and this is a game that hopefully we will.
Coach, you probably don't need to be reminded about this, but I'm going to remind you anyways, because I'm wondering if you have actually told the players that the Trailblazers 18-5 all time in the city of Miami. That can go a long way in just fueling the confidence of a team as you go in to prepare to play the defending champs.
Yeah, you know what? We haven't talked about that as much as we have about the fact that we beat this team in Portland, and I think that you can talk about negatives, and I think that creates a negative mindset. As a West Conference team coming into Miami, you sometimes get into a situation where you play against a team and you don't think that you can win, but this is a team that we beat in Portland, and we have to try to play the same way that we did in Portland. Stop their penetration, control LeBron, control Dwayne Wade, and see what you can make of it.
You know, Coach, I know you don't want to dwell on negatives, but when you are deep in a road trip like this and you drop a game in Orlando, one that maybe you penciled when you left Portland that you probably could get, how much time do you spend looking back at it to learn, or do you spend any time at all when you're heading into Miami?
You know what? We spent quite a bit of today actually working on how we were going to, what we did wrong in that game and what we need to be better as a team. And I think that's a big factor, is how you grow. And we did a good job today, I thought, in practice, correcting mistakes that we made in that game. I don't think you want to go and try to, focus on one game, because if you do that, sometimes you get down. And even if you do everything right, you play against a team that has, such superior quality as Miami does. You find yourselves competing, trying to, win that game, and then it brings you even further down. And so I thought today was a good practice as far as what we did, focus on what we did wrong in that game, what we need to do to get better. And, tomorrow morning is the time that we're going to focus on what we think we need to do to try to beat the Miami Heat.
Blazers assistant coach Jay Triano joining us here on Trailblazers Courtside. Coach, obviously the Blazers are a team that certainly steps up with the level of competition. What is the mood of the team right now kind of going into tomorrow's game? I know yesterday is a game that they know they let get away from them. They know that if they played this one over again 99 times, they'll probably win, you know, a good handful of them. But the mood of the team, generally speaking, right now going into Miami.
You know what? I think it's pretty good. I think the big thing today was that we had a really good practice. You know, everybody participated. Everybody was into it. We talked about the mistakes that we had made against Orlando. And I think that when you move into a game where you're playing one of the best teams and the defending champions in the NBA, you go into the game thinking, I don't want to be embarrassed. I want to be prepared. And your focus is a lot higher than going into a game where you think, I can win the game or we can figure out a way how to win this game through the course of a game. And I think that today was really good as far as, you know what, we're facing one of the best teams in the NBA, if not the best team in the NBA right now. And tomorrow morning we're going to go into practice and we're going to have a philosophy as to what it's going to take to try to beat this team. And I think that that's the key for us right now is that, you know, we don't get caught up in what happened yesterday and the fact that we lost the game against a team that maybe we should have won. But our players are focused and they're so determined right now on how to win a game against maybe the best team in the NBA. And I think that's the one resolve that this team has had all along is that, you know, we take games one game at a time. And yeah, we let one slip away yesterday, but today we're going to be back and we're going to be focused as how we can try to figure out how a way to beat the Miami Heat. And then after that, we're going to figure out how can we find a way to beat the New Orleans Hornets.
Coach, when you look at the stats of this Blazer team, and in particular I'm talking about offensive rebounds right now, this team is an energy team when it is having success, creating extra possessions, attacking the glass. And when I look at this stat sheet and I see 5 offensive rebounds against Orlando Magic, I know the team shot 50%, so there were fewer to grab. Is that an area of concern at all because of how vital that is in victories?
No, you know, that's a great point. You know, as coaches, we look at that. And, you know, I think over the course of 82 games, you're always going to look at energy levels of your team. And sometimes it's like 3 games and 4 nights. Sometimes it's like, you know, 5 games and 7 nights. And are you going to have the energy? You know, we didn't have the energy last night. And, you know, we were slower to the ball than the Orlando Magic was. We didn't, you know, create opportunities for second chance points. 50-50 balls last night went their way. And that's something, you know, we have to look at and we have to figure out, did we practice too much? Did we spend too much time, you know, doing shoot around and preparing technically for games instead of providing energy for games. And last night was an energy game, and we lacked the energy last night. You know, as a coaching staff, you need to teach the young players how to play, you know, technically. But you also have to make sure that you're aware as far as the energy aspect is. And last night we lacked the energy, but hopefully we taught our guys something about the game tactically that we can improve on and make our young players a little bit better.
Can't be taking days off in the NBA, right, Coach?
Well, you can't for sure. And you know what? And as coaches, you know, it's funny because sometimes we're sitting on the road going, man, I'm physically exhausted because I've broken down tape and I've prepared the team for a game. And you know, we go into arenas and we're physically exhausted. And we know the players are doing the same thing, but they also have to be, you know, physically ready to play. And sometimes that just doesn't happen in the NBA. And there's a schedule part of the NBA that provides quirks where you have to be ready to play. And, you know, last night I thought our attitude and our importance of what the game meant to us was good. But at the same time, I thought we were a step behind the whole game, and I don't think that's any fault of anybody. I think everybody was like, we understood the importance of the game, and everybody was there. But, you know, we were a step behind the Orlando Magic last night.
Coach, you had to like what – and I know it's been talked about quite a bit this season, obviously, but the play of your bench last night, 28 points off the bench, and Joel Freeland really had kind of a pep in his step, especially offensively, looked to be very aggressive in attacking the basket. What did you like about the role of the bench yesterday? You played some good minutes and in some crucial times during the game.
You know what? It's interesting they say that because I actually thought that our bench hurt us in the game last night. Their numbers were very, very good. And as the game progressed and you look at the box score, I thought their numbers were good. But I thought that when we went to the bench at the start of the second quarter, that was a big turning point in the game for us. And we had a lot of bench players on the floor at the time. And that's when, the big lead late in the first quarter, start of the second quarter, that we had provided for our team. Our bench guys kind of, their plus minus was not very good at that point.
Defensive end of the floor is what you're saying. More on the defensive end of the floor is where they were.
And as the game progressed, it showed that our bench, I'll take those stats from our guys off the bench any single night. I thought that they did a good job. But, in the second quarter, I thought, at the beginning of the game, I was thinking, this is a great game for us. We're on a roll. Our guys are rolling. It looked like we could do whatever we wanted to do. When we went to the bench, all of a sudden, things stalled a little bit. Magic got back into the game. It wasn't as good as we had hoped. And as a result, I think that gave them a little bit of hope, and it gave them some kind of confidence that they were going to be okay. So, as the game progressed, second half, Joel Freeland coming in, Victor Claver, I thought they played very, very well. But I think we let them back into the game a little bit when it could have been a game where we were running away with had they played well early in this early in the second quarter or late in the first quarter.
Great insight, Coach. We really appreciate you stopping by and joining us. I know Miami is a town where, a lot of people like to do other things, so we do appreciate your time tonight. And go out and get those Heat tomorrow, would you?
Yeah. You're right. It's a great city for a lot of different reasons, but our complete goal while we're here is to try to figure out how to beat the Miami Heat and finish off this game and the game against New Orleans before the All-Star break, because we really think we're in the mix here, and as far as the playoff spot is concerned, and this is a valuable two games for us.
Well, it would certainly make a nice statement if you guys can get the next two. Assistant head coach Jay Triano joining us from Miami. Coach, thank you very much. We'll talk to you real soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Had a lot of interesting things to say right there.
Oh, he did. Yeah. He did. And we'll talk about it on the other side of the break.
On the other side of the break. Trailblazers Courtside presented by Pacific Power. You can see right here on Comcast Sportsnet, the Trailblazers Radio Network, or stream live on trailblazers.com. Back with more, Mike Barrett coming up.
You don't want him on, or you can't get him?
Blazers courtside, taking in Ruben Boomche. Michael Holton, Adam Bjarnson with you this Monday night as we kind of rehash a little bit of what assistant coach Jay Triano just said to us. And it was pretty priceless, the fact that I say, hey, you got to like what your team did as far as the bench play.
He said the bench.
I should have said offensively.
Steve. He said the bench killed us.
The bench. I thought complete opposite, Adam.
No, I understood what he was saying. And his comments after that really clarified what he was saying.
Right.
He talked about energy and the team being a step slow. And he was nice about it. And that's one of the more delicate lines for coaches, because players are responsible for bringing energy. Coaches coach execution.
Right.
You can't evaluate your scheme if you don't have enough energy on display from your players.
And he had pointed that out. Yeah, they're just lacking energy. Looked a step slow. And Coach Stotts said that even after the game yesterday. The Blazers just looking a step slow. They were in the right spots, but they got there too late. And so
it happens.
Yeah.
It happens in the course of an NBA season. Doesn't happen often, shouldn't happen often, and hasn't happened often.
Defensively, clearly right now where the Trailblazers are struggling, and it's really not just one area, Michael. It is, and it's not just one game. It's not just the Orlando Magic yesterday. It's dribble penetration. There's no help defense. It's points in the paint are piling up. How do you rectify it? How do you clean this up?
It sounds so complicated.
It does.
So complex when it's really very simple.
Okay.
It's energy.
Yeah.
Because when you don't have the extra pep in your step, then the trust breaks down defensively. I'm not going to get into the ball because when my guy beat me, the help didn't come. So now I'm playing the ball soft so I don't get beat. And when you play the ball soft, that guy beats you, whether over the top or with an individual move. So when the energy's lacking, it seems like everything is broke. And it's really one thing. And it's interesting when you step back as an NBA player and you get new energy, you go, wow, I can't believe I didn't bring more last night.
Yeah. Do the Blazers lack an enforcer? Kind of like, now I'm going to throw the name out there. I'm going to throw Joel Prisbill out there because he was one of those guys that wouldn't take any guff from anyone.
Right.
Is there a guy on this team that can be a physical player? And I think as I talked with Coach Triano about, I think Joel Freeland is probably the one guy on the team who can be that as far as Blazer bigs, who can patrol the paint.
Yeah, and that is really the excellent point to bring up right now because an enforcer is great because he gets people open and he cleans up certain scenarios. But I think more importantly than the term enforcer is somebody that protects the rim and the paint.
Mm-hmm, right.
Because on a night when your defense is not as sharp and you got somebody to reject or return to sender at the rim, you can play through.
We all know there was only one enforcer, though. Luke.
I'll go for that.
The late, great Maurice Lucas. He was the lone enforcer. All right, Mike Barrett coming up right after this timeout on Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. We'll talk to MB about the state of the Blazers, what the mood is down in South Beach, and can the Blazers overcome yesterday's loss and get a win in the next two? We'll catch up with MB coming up right after this on Trailblazers Courtside. Mike and Mike Fan Club. The VIP pass has now just arrived in the studio here. These guys aren't going to be back they won't be back on courtside for, about a month, Captain? Yeah, holy cow.
So we're honoring their presence.
Yes, a little vacation for Mike Barrett and Mike Rice. And speaking of MB, the one and only MB joining us, I'm sure ready to tell us about the sights and sounds of South Beach right now.
No, Amy's going to tell us about the heat.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, it's 43 degrees here. Let's go ahead. Let's talk about the weather down there. I saw Jim Taylor tweet with his feet up by the pool earlier today.
I would never tweet such a thing because I don't want to, back
Rub
the stereotype
in.
That we're on vacation. But, no, it was I walked down the day down toward the arena. It was a nice day out. I mean, it was, close to 80 and it was sunny and I was strolling down there and kind of strolling around the harbor, and I was looking at the cruise ships that were getting ready to take off and whatnot, and I'm thinking, at the time I was very critical of LeBron and the decision and the way it all came down, but winter in Cleveland versus winter here, you start to understand maybe why. On a serious note, I mean, I wouldn't want to live here, but it's a very cool place to visit.
Hey, best part of yesterday's game was did not actually happen on the floor. It was a shot of both you and Rice at Golf Channel headquarters in Orlando. That was very cool. I mean, that had to have been a thrill for you guys.
Yeah, we're both kind of golf nuts anyway, and I watch the Golf Channel a ton. I mean, I don't want to admit how much I watch it, but we got into Orlando and had a day, and so we thought, let's buzz over there. And LaCrofka, who works on our TV crew, he does a bunch of work during the summer at some of the majors for the Golf Channel, so he knew some guys there. So, yeah, I got to go over to the studios and, watch Golf Central following following the third round of the AT&T Pebble Beach, and so got to go and watch the show and then hang out on the set and took a few pictures and talked to Randall Chamblee, who I'd met a few times, and that was very cool. We get to do some cool things on the road, but that, for me, being the golf geek I am, that was right up there.
Yeah, that's really cool, MB, and you're connected, man. You guys are connected. MB, I have a question for you about the All-Star break. You've been following the Blazers. You've been a Blazer broadcaster a lot longer than I have, and I want to ask you, if you have noticed a trend,
going into the All-Star break and coming out of the All-Star break from teams that are have pretty much locked for playoffs and teams that are kind of on the fringe, picking up ground or losing ground, specifically as it relates to going in and out of the All-Star break?
You know, I know that that gets talked about a lot, and you know, we maybe try to look for things. I can't say that over the last few years I've seen a huge trend in that. I mean, that's the funny thing about Miami right now. I mean, they've gone through stretches this season where people will say, okay, now the Heat are just kind of on cruise control and perhaps resting some guys. But then all of a sudden they'll take off on a run, and that's what we're catching them in right now. I mean, they're playing some of their best basketball of the season, and I don't know. They're pretty locked in, and you know, I certainly don't sense with the Trailblazers that at this point. Now, I think if you're going to see that, you would see it maybe on Wednesday in New Orleans, being it's the last game before the break. But these guys stay pretty well locked in. I haven't heard a whole lot of talk about it. I mean, I think some people, if you look at Damian's performance from Sunday in Orlando, 1-for-16, you say, okay, rookie, you know, everybody's looking for signs of hitting a rookie wall or getting one foot out the door for the All-Star break. I don't think that was the case in that ball game, and I'm not – yeah, the guys are playing a lot of minutes, and that's been the story all season on how, you know, are they wearing down? Are we starting to see signs of the guys wearing down? I still, you know, being around them pregame, postgame, on the bus, on the plane, I don't hear any talk like that. I haven't seen any talk, you know, any evidence to that at this point. I don't think that's it. I think maybe Sunday's game was an example of going in and feeling like it's a team you should beat and coming off a disappointing game. And I think getting off to the big start and the 11-point lead, I think, was probably the worst thing that could have happened to Portland, and you know, contrary to the way you would want to have it. We're saying, okay, great start. They you know, they put doubt in Orlando's mind. This will not be their night. But I think it came so quickly and so easy for them. I don't know. Maybe that lent itself to – perhaps if you had an edge in the early going, maybe turning it off a little bit for a minute and then not being able to get it back. That's what it seemed like more than anything else.
MB, all is not lost, obviously, right now with this road trip. There's still two more games to go. And wouldn't a 3-3 record coming back home to Portland before the All-Star break make such great sense and give everyone just kind of that feel-good feeling once again? But the Trailblazers have got to do one thing, and that is obviously they've got to improve defensively. Is that the biggest problem right now with this team?
Yeah, I mean, you go back and look at, I mean, even the road trip or you know, even before that, I mean, the last Utah game, you give 99 to them, which is okay. You know, Minnesota's allowed a 40-point fourth quarter, which is where a lot of people are saying this started. They end up with 98. You give 105 to Dallas. You give 118 to Houston. You end up getting 110 to Orlando, and the shooting percentages are high. And even where Portland had been so good in rebounding, you know, that wasn't the case at Orlando. They get out-rebounded by 12. You know, the funny thing, and I was kind of going over the box score tonight as I'm just kind of starting to organize everything, you know, Lillard goes 1-of-16 in the game, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. But if you take that away,
Portland
shoots 61%. The bench goes 12-of-16 and scores 28 points. I mean, it's an amazing coincidence on a night that happens. You get good performances everywhere else. And, you know, I know the bench numbers were a bit skewed because Coach Stotts dumped the bench late. But, you know, we would have been talking about Joel Freeland's big night. You'd be talking about some of these guys having, you know, team shoots 51%. And your point guard, who hits 1-of-17 shots, or 1-of-16 shots, you shoot 51% despite all of that. So that was crazy. But yes, your point about the defense is exactly right. And I think, again, like I said before, I think some people are maybe saying, okay, that's if there's going to be a sign that they're wearing down, it'll show itself on defense. And maybe there's something to that. I haven't seen any huge sign of that. But tomorrow night will be a good test, and maybe not one that we can measure along the same track, because we know they're going to get up against Miami. If you don't, you get embarrassed. And Miami knows they lost earlier to Portland. And the crazy thing, when you look at the all-time mark, and you guys have probably discussed this already, but Portland 18-5 all-time in Miami. And I remember a lot of those games, and there's been a lot of places we go into, and I don't remember many. You know, you walk into an arena, and we've been in all of them enough times now, either good thoughts come, good memories flood in, or bad ones. Miami, it seems like, even when they were good before this, you know, back in the Shaq days and Wade's early days, and the Trailblazers were starting to rebuild back then, they still would win in Miami. Mm-hmm. So it's for whatever reason, and it should not carry over to this because it's new players. Miami's different now. I don't know. These trends are funny, and I expect a good performance, a much better performance by Portland tomorrow, and a close game. But the Heat they're playing well right now. They're tough. They're tough everywhere. They're especially tough at home.
Yeah, and MB, I agree with you that you know fear of being embarrassed is a huge motivator. You don't have to worry about the Trailblazers being flat or a step slow tomorrow based on a lack of energy for sure. But MB, you shared a lot of numbers about the high scoring games that the Trailblazers have been in as of late. And I want to ask you about the focus, because this team has, when it has had success, in my opinion, it has been because of what they've done on the defensive end and the energy in terms of rebounds and offensive rebounds in particular and points off turnovers. So my question is, if you're involved in all these high-scoring games, do you think that there's a possibility that the focus has shifted or shifts from defense to a track meet type of offense as a means to win?
Yes, and I think that started, you know, when we came home after Utah, that back-to-back, that home-and-home, we had talked about how Terry Stotts, you know, instead of going to a real conservative approach against Utah in that home, and this is a game they won, that they were going to really try and push tempo and maybe push it a little more and run a little more. And I think, and you know this as a coach, the difficult thing to explain to a team at that point, or maybe the point you have to get across that's most important is, okay, if you're going to run, you got to play defense first. I mean, that's where your fast break game starts. Mm-hmm. And I think perhaps some of that, some of the, you know, the importance and the emphasis is being placed on up and down and pushing tempo, you know, and trying to take advantage of opportunities in the open floor, which not only raises your field goal percentage, it raises your points in the paint and your ability to get easy baskets. Yeah, I think the tough part, and I think any coach would say, the tough part when you try to sell a team that is to make sure they understand not only rebounding, because Portland's been better in rebounding. They've really come a long way in that category, but defense overall and defensive pressure and all of those things you talk about. I back to your original question, I totally think that is the case. I think perhaps they're going to go back tomorrow to, you know, and Wesley Matthews is going to know this. He's going to have his hands full. And don't forget, you know, in the first meeting, he held LeBron to 15 points. He snapped that 20 that streak he had of 20 or points or more in 54 games that was snapped in Portland. And so, you know, Batum will get some time on LeBron. Wesley will get probably the most time on LeBron tomorrow. But I think because of the fear of Miami that everybody has, and you know, respect, if you want to call it that, I think the defensive intensity will be a whole lot better.
Mike Barrett, Blazers TV play-by-play man, joining us live from Miami right now. MB, we're going to cut you loose. We're going to let you
that's
go.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. That's all you get.
All right.
I know.
All right.
You get paid by the word, right?
I'm going back to work. Everybody else is toiling down on South Beach. I'm hard at work at my desk, watching American Pickers on the History Channel.
Led by tone, I'm sure, right?
I have no idea. Some of those guys, everybody always says, you guys all hang out? I said, no. I see the guys on the plane and on the bus, and then I see them at the game the next time. But once in a while, we do see the guys. But it was nice to, you know, get a little pool time today on a day off in Miami. It could be worse places, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, the Trailblazers have won four consecutive games in the city of Miami. So I know. Wouldn't it be nice to get five in a row?
Yes, it would. That would turn things around on the trip, that's for sure.
All right. Mike Barrett, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Let's go get a win tomorrow, huh?
All right, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. Trailblazers TV. That's so hard for me to say. TV play-by-play man. I should say play-by-play man.
You say it well. You said it properly.
Yeah. All right. We're going to, you know, take a timeout here is what we're going to do. We're going to recharge the buttons and batteries. Reset it.
Reset.
Back. We're going to talk about what MB said as well as what Coach Triano said, and we'll talk about a few other things.
We're not going to shoot hoop tonight?
Maybe. We can do that. It's a fun-filled show. Trailblazers Courtside returns.
Go ahead, Adam. Go ahead.
Let me go first.
That brick.
One.
Oh, that was a brick.
Two.
Money.
Oh.
Money.
Buckets.
Money.
Running
hand
ball.
Hook. Oh, that
you
was.
You can't do that.
That. Was
money. Oh, here's
that
the money ball.
Oh.
Money ball.
Oh.
Oh, I need that back. Not fair. You've won 2 weeks in a row. One more.
Oh, you're going to break the whole studio, man.
I am.
All right.
More cowbell, please. Trailblazers courtside, Adam Bjornson, Michael Holton with you. Famous birthdays. I like this. Do you know that Bill Russell is going to be 79 years old tomorrow?
Bill Russell. He looks good.
One of the, would you say, five greatest players of all time? Or would you go top 10?
I can't. Players I didn't see, it's hard for me to put them in historical context.
I got a funny story about Bill Russell. You know, he went to University of San Francisco. My mom and my grandfather actually had a shoe shop over in the city of San Francisco. Bill Russell used to come in and get his custom-made shoes. He wore size, I want to say 21. He had shoes that were almost like these just canvas shoes that were all low-cut tops. Mm. They were so big, he ended up giving a couple of them to my mom, and my mom used them as planters to put plants in. That's how big they were.
That's
and she
funny.
Still has two of them, yeah. And I don't know if they were actually worn by Bill Russell, but he did actually own them at one
point. Oh, that's a good story.
It is. Whose birthdays are today? Jennifer Aniston, 44. I love these kind of things. It's not my birthday. Sheryl Crow's 51.
Okay.
You're like, where are we going?
Yeah. Does she have a jump shot?
What did you take from what MB said about the Blazers right now and the mood of the team?
I think the mood of the team is fine. I think the focus is going to be fine. Yeah. And MB talked about that. But he highlighted what happened in that second, in the back-to-back game against Utah when the tempo was announced and Terry Stotts implored the team to play faster. Mm-hmm. MB really captured quite eloquently what that meant that night. It was a W. It was refreshing. It was new, and guys ran. But what it means to sustain that style from a standpoint of defending and rebounding and focus.
It'll be interesting to see what they can do tomorrow because, as we've talked about, the Blazers really ramp up against, you know, more – you know, better competition. It's going to be one of those games where if Portland can get tomorrow, all will be well.
I'll quickly say this.
It's a good remedy.
They're not going to run Miami out of their arena.
No.
So they're going to have to play defense with their offense, and shot selection is going to be key because Miami can turn that thing around as quick as anybody in the business.
If they play the way they played here against Miami, good things can happen. Trailblazers courtside. One final break. When we get back, we'll give you the scores going on in the NBA. Plus, Golden State. They've got new uniforms. I got to tell you about these. They're crazy. Courtside returns right after this. All right, hold this shot on the TV side. These are the new uniforms for, and I know this doesn't do the people on radio any good, but the Golden State Warriors have these new uniforms that are coming out by Adidas, and they've got sleeves, Michael. For the first time I've ever seen sleeves on an NBA-issued jersey. How about that?
That's a cat suit.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's different. That's different.
I just saw that on Twitter today. And you are more involved on Twitter.
But I didn't catch that, though. That's interesting.
Hey, ESPN, real quick, I'm not going to go over the scores like I had talked about. I want to kind of talk about this subject real quick. ESPN has been doing this week-long celebration of Michael Jordan's birthday. His 50th birthday is coming up on Sunday. You've got to be able to tell your story real quick. Your story with him when you guys were teammates in Chicago.
What?
The story.
When we played pool and I
beat him? Oh, we only have a minute? You said, Cap?
Yeah. I beat Michael Jordan in pool, and he made me stay, and he gave me gear, and he made me stay, and he gave me more gear till he won. Because he didn't want me to go to practice the next day and say I beat him because he's so competitive.
That is so awesome when you told me that story. Trailblazers crew list for tonight. TV producer Adam Willis, director Garrett Strudler. Video, Greg St. Martin. Graphics, it is Kim Anderson. On audio, it is Charles Chauvigny. Cameras, Curry and Buck. Bruce Williams is the engineer. Online coordinator, Justin Moulter. And Rich Patterson, the captain.
Captain,
there he is.
Cam.
Look at his shirt, by the way.
Man.
You
got
to see this. What does it say? Get closer to the camera.
I'm a Oregonian.
It says,
man.
I'm a Blazergonian.
Blazergonian. Blazergonian.
I love it.
That's nice. That's good marketing.
Cap, good stuff as always. Trailblazers courtside. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening, everyone. On behalf of Michael Holton, I'm Adam Bjornson. We will see you in a couple of weeks. Remember, Trailblazers courtside taking next week off because of the All-Star break. Blazers in Miami. Michael and I will see you then. Have a good night, everyone.